Thank you, Pastor. It's a blessing to be back tonight. We're grateful and thankful. The Lord's given us this time tonight, not only tonight, but the other nights as well. And before I even read tonight, let me say thank you, Pastor, for inviting us to come and share with you and your people. It's been my high honor to come, and I appreciate the church allowing us to be here. And then we thank you for every act of kindness that you've shown towards my wife and I. Sure, I'm glad she is able to be with us this week. We thank you for the good place to stay. Thank you for meals provided and meals prepared, and anything you did to help us while we've been here. I thank you for taking good care of us, and I appreciate it from the depths of my heart. And I appreciate your prayers before we got here and while we've been here, and I hope you'll continue those prayers. I picked it up from Brother Cook. Brother Raymond Cook said, and I've told it about everywhere I go, but he said, now put me on your prayer list and pray for me. So you hear I'm gone, he said, then take me off, I'll have it made then. And he said, it's rough from here to the cemetery, sometimes for the child of God, but from the cemetery on, it is smooth sailing. And that is true. Amen. So, we got something to look forward to, don't we? Amen. We're just getting started in this Christian life. Really, it's not coming to an end. We're just getting started, really. We have eternal life. Amen. And so I praise the Lord for that. Well, I would invite you to look with us again to Exodus chapter 3. And I hope I'm not taxing your patience or wearing your patience looking at these verses again, but I want to look at them. It's what's on my heart. And so I want to leave them with you tonight and then try to preach what the Lord would have us to say from these verses tonight. Exodus 3, you may can memorize it. You might can say it by heart tonight. When I was younger, I could, but I can't no more. And I'm not that old, but I appreciate the Lord allowing us to be able to read these verses. I was thinking today how time flies by. It sure don't seem like it's been 25 years when I first came to these mountains, but it's been that long, 25 years. What about that? And so I appreciate the Lord allowing us to be here in these days. And I trust the Lord will continue to bless you here and as you obey the Lord and follow Him and use you for His honor and for His glory. And we do appreciate humbly your prayers for us. Exodus 3, verse number 1. We'll read through verse number 5. Exodus 3 and verse number 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why, the bush is not burnt. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, but off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Father, thank you for the reading of the scriptures. I appreciate the fact you preserved your word till this generation. Thank you for the portion you've directed our heart to. Thank you for the liberty we've had in the nights that have passed. Thank you for this dear pastor and the church you planted here, these that make up this local body. I pray your blessings on him and them. I pray you'd use them for your honor and glory. I pray, dear Lord, our Father, tonight you'd bless those that have been here this week, that visiting from other churches, those that are here tonight. Bless them, Lord, in their local places, Lord, of service and worship. Use them, I pray. Help us in these last days, in these perilous times, in these times of apostasy, to be faithful, to draw nigh to you tonight. Help us now as we endeavor to preach. Give us unction and utterance. May your word go forth in power and demonstration of the Spirit of God. And may, Lord, we be fed. May we be strengthened, encouraged. May, Lord, we be enlightened, Lord, tonight. Reproved, if that's necessary, whatever. For you know our need tonight. So through the Word of God, would you meet our need tonight? And may we leave here better than what we've come. And meet the need of every heart and life that's here. Bless those that are not able to come. Those that didn't have a desire to come. And help us, I pray, Father, to be at our best tonight. Above everything that's accomplished in any of us, may your name be magnified and glorified among us. We'll thank you and praise you for what you do. I ask what I ask in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing while we read the scripture and then prayed together. We've been looking at these verses ever since Monday night. And what I wanted to focus in mainly was the fact in verse 5 where the Lord speaks to Moses and says, I want you to take off your shoes. In other words, you can't get any closer to me if you're not willing to take off your shoes. It was the Lord that set the bush on fire. Or literally, it was the Lord that got in the bush, my friend, and that's why it was not consumed. And by getting in the bush, he got Moses' attention. That is what he wanted, was Moses' attention. And Moses gave him that attention. He turned aside to see, he said, this great sight. Our text says, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, the Lord then spoke to him. And now he's not just wanting his attention, he's wanting his availability. Amen. He's wanting him to draw nigh to him. Can I say to you, before Moses is to draw nigh to Egypt, before Moses is to draw nigh to Pharaoh, my friend, even draw nigh to the Red Sea, my friend, and that wilderness experience, the Lord wants him to draw nigh unto him. Amen? Oh, hear me. In other words, before he does anything publicly, the Lord wants him to draw nigh unto him privately. Amen. And that's the reason he says to him, take off the shoes, my friend, off of your feet, for the ground whereon thou standest is holy ground. Draw not nigh hither. Don't come any closer than you are already until you take off your shoes. Amen. Are you listening tonight? I'm amazed how God will draw us to himself. How God will get our attention. How God will beckon and call to us. Amen. But we reach a place and a point, my friend, if we're to go further, my friend, with him, if we're to draw closer to him, we must be willing and make ourselves available, God, by loosening or taking off our shoes. That's been my desire in these days to say to us, as God said to Moses, take off your shoes if you want to come closer. And that's what I hope, my friend, by the help of God, I've tried to say to you this week, there's a Lord, my friend, there's a God in heaven, our Father, thank God, our Savior, our Lord and Master, thank God, our wonderful Redeemer, that keeps beckoning to us to draw nigh, but we must take off our shoes if we do tonight. Amen. He doesn't just want our attention, he wants our availability. Amen. He wants us, my friend, be on holy ground. Moses was, my friend, but he, my friend, could get closer, and God wanted him to be closer if he was willing to take off his shoes. Amen. By the way, by taking off his shoes, thank God, going barefooted, thank God, he was saying, you're the master, I'm the servant.
For those that went barefooted in that day, and even in the day of our Lord, thank God, were the servants. Amen. Thank God, were those without shoes, were those that were either servants or slaves. Amen. And the Lord is saying to Moses, thank God, after 80 years of doing things like you wanted to do them, thank God, how about doing it my way? Amen. Thank God, take off your shoes and follow me and walk the path I want you to walk and walk the way I want you to walk. That's what he's saying. Hallelujah. Thank God. Oh my. And God help us tonight how to do the very same thing tonight. Amen. He wants us to draw nigh. When he said take off your shoes, thank God, the shoes of your defilement. That defiles you. That, my friend, that you have picked up by walking upon the earth, by walking in this world, amen. Oh my, thank God, take off your shoes of defilement. Lay that aside, amen. Oh, we live in a leprosy colony. Thank God. We live in a wicked world. We hear things we should not hear, see things we should not see, feel things we should not feel. Are you hearing me tonight? We're tempted, my friend. But I'm telling you tonight, he wants us to lay aside the shoes of our defilement. He wants our walk to be cleansed. Amen. And if our walk is clean, we can be on holy ground with him and have that wonderful fellowship and communion that he, amen, desires for us to have. Amen. Not only did he want him to take off the shoes of his defilement, he wanted him to take off, amen, the shoes of his deeds. Amen. Thank God. What you did, thank God, in days gone by, and especially, thank God, that deed when you slew the Egyptian and buried him in the sand, thank God, and you've been living with it for 40 years, thank God, and you've been walking over it, and literally, thank God, it's ground in out of the soles of your sandals, out of the soles of your shoe. Lay it aside. Take the shoes off. There's forgiveness. Amen. Oh, thank the Lord for that. Thirdly, we tried to preach last night, take off the shoes of your dwelling. Don't be content how to dwell in this place no more. Don't be content how to dwell on the backside of the desert. Amen. Are you listening to me tonight? Don't be satisfied or self-satisfied when I call. Now that I've spoke, hey God, I leave that where you have dwelt. I leave that where you have served for the last 40 years and come closer to me, amen. And I will send you to Egypt. Along that same line, if I can just leave this with you tonight, God help us for just a few moments to do so, and you pray for us. Not only does he want us to take off the shoes of our defilement, not only do we want him to take off the shoes of his deeds and the shoes of his dwelling, but he wanted him to take off the shoes of his disappointment. Amen. Moses was living in disappointment. Moses was disappointed by what took place 40 years earlier in the land of Egypt. Amen. And sometimes if we're not careful, we'll live, thank God, in the disappointment of yesterday, in the disappointment of the past. Amen. We'll live and say, if this, amen. Oh, but the Lord said, I want you to put away, thank God, the shoes of your disappointment. Thank God, I want you to take off the shoes, my friend, where you've walked in for these 40 years and been disappointed. I think I've reference the verse maybe every night this week, but I want to reference again tonight. There in Acts chapter 7, thank God, Stephen preaching before the Sanhedrin, thank God. And they behold his countenance as the countenance of an angel, thank God. And Stephen, my friend, preaches to them about what God had done through the nation of Israel and how he had led them and blessed them and how they had resisted him, thank God, and been stiff-necked even as they were to the very day that Stephen was preaching to that crowd, to the very folk that were there before them. Amen. And when he got to Moses, he said Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptian, was mighty in words and in deeds. When he was full 40 years old, he came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel, and seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian, for he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver him, but they understood not. Amen. He's disappointed, amen, thank God, because it did not work out like he thought it would or should. Amen. He's living in disappointment. You might say he's living in delusion. Thank God. Ill success. There was no success for Moses at age 40. Thank God. When he slew that Egyptian, he thought he was doing right. And he supposed that his brethren would understand that God was going to use him, and by his hand they would be delivered. But they understood not. Amen. And so he's been living in that disappointment all these years. I want to say, first of all, he's living in the disappointment that he has towards God. Amen. For the Bible said it came in his heart. Who put it in his heart? It came in his heart to visit his brethren in Goshen. Thank God, he's in, the palace of Egypt. He's, my friend, there, my friend, close to the capital of Egypt. But he goes to Goshen. He goes to the brickyard. He goes, my friend, to visit those fellow Israelites. Are you listening to me? Thank God, my friend, and he sees that Egyptian mistreat his Hebrew brother, and he looks this way and that way and slays him, amen, and hides him in the sand, amen. For the Bible said he supposed his brethren would have understood. Who put it in his heart? God put it in his heart. And yet instead of it working out, yet instead of this deed, my friend, being the catalyst, thank God, being the springboard, thank God, being the reason that they rally behind Moses and say, you delivered us yesterday from that Egyptian, and surely you can deliver us from Pharaoh himself. Instead, they said, who made you a lord or a judge over us? Amen. So the plan of God, that God put in his heart, did not work out. Thank God, in Moses' a time, and he is disappointed. Thank God, with the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I know we sang the song, I've never been disappointed in him. Hallelujah. I understand what we're saying, but I'm telling you, thank God, as we live in this Christian life and we walk this Christian journey, there's been times when we say or have felt like, God, you could have done it different. Are you listening to me tonight? Oh, the two disciples on the road to Emmaus from Jerusalem after witnessing the crucifixion and then being there after, thank God, the women said, angel said, he's alive. And the disciples said, the tomb is empty. They're headed back home, thank God, that day of the resurrection. And as Jesus walks beside them, he asks why their countenance is sad. Thank God, why are they troubled? And they said, have you not heard? Are you a stranger? Thank God. And do not know what's transpired, how that Jesus of Nazareth, thank God, this mighty man of God, who we felt not only was a prophet but the Messiah, and that it was he that would deliver Israel, thank God, but they crucified him. Amen. Hallelujah. It just didn't work out like we thought it was. It didn't work out like, thank God, the Old Testament testified and witnessed to us about. Amen. It just hasn't been fulfilled. Like he said, I did not perform, thank God, the work of the Messiah. He did not relieve us or deliver us, thank God, from the bondage of Rome. Thank God, he did not set up his kingdom. He did not put us on thrones. Oh my. Thank God, it was he that we trusted that would deliver Israel. But instead of delivering Israel, he's dead. And then on top of that, to add to our confusion, thank God, somebody stole his body. Women say angels told him that he's alive. The other disciples that went down to the sepulcher say the tomb is empty. And we really don't know what to believe now. Amen. And he opened the scriptures beginning at Moses. Amen. Hallelujah. And said to them, ought not Christ first to have suffered and then enter into his glory? Amen. Expounded to them the scriptures. Was not Martha and Mary saying the same thing when Jesus showed up 4 days after their brother had been buried? And both of them said, if you'd have been here, our brother had not died. Disappointed in the way God is handling things. And the fact, thank God, that he could have come out of the sick bed of life and stopped him from death and got him off the sick bed, but he did it. Hallelujah. There's not unrighteousness with God, and he has not done wrong. And he has not with Moses. And he said, Moses, you need to get over your disappointment. Thank God, you need to get over your disillusionment. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God. Oh, bless his name. And how you do that, thank God, is take off those shoes that represent how you've lived for the last 40 years and begin life anew. And get over here, thank God, near me and on holy ground. Woo! Amen. Bless his name. Thank the Lord. Oh, take off the shoes of your disappointment. He's disappointing the Lord. Not only is he disappointing the Lord, he's disappointed in his brethren. He supposed they would understand that now God, by his hand, would deliver them out of Egyptian bondage, but they understand not. So he's disappointed in his brethren. Amen. Oh my. He's disappointed because they cannot understand what he understands. He's disappointed because they will not follow him. Amen. Oh, the disappointment that swells upon him every time he thinks about, thank God, oh, my friend, how, thank God, it would have been different if they had just listened, if they had just understood, if they had just, thank God, took him as the person and the position that God had placed him in, but they refused him. Amen. Rejection and refusal is hard to take. Amen. It is. It is. It really is. And that's what they did to Moses, and it was disappointing. Thank God, he was disappointed in his brethren. I think that's why. Thank God, he goes to the backside of the desert. Thank God, washes and wipes his hand of that crowd and says, I'll never, thank God, see him again. Thank God, it's over with. But oh, the Lord said, have you been disappointed? Thank God, by them, amen. But you were not ready to leave my people, and they were not ready to follow you. It'd take more than 40 years of them under hard bondage to be able to make the wilderness journey. God would harden them. God would, my friend, put them in that furnace of affliction and turn up the heat. Thank God, until they could stand the wilderness experience. And they wasn't ready yet. Amen. Thank God. They were not tempered yet. Oh, you hear me, friend? Oh, my. And on top of that, the iniquity
of the Amorites and the Jebusites and the Hittites and all them other ites that was in Canaan had not yet got full. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, what a difference it, how it looks so different when we see it from God's vantage point, when we see it through God's eyes tonight, how when we look at the situation, hey God, as He knows, it really is, amen. Most of the time we're one dimensional. Most of the time how we can only see it out of our adversity, out of our hurting, out of our sorrow, out of our disappointment and disillusionment, amen. Out of our defeat, hey God, at the hands of others. Oh, but I'm telling you, hey God, God, I knew what it was all about. Y'all hear me, friend? Amen. And I'm still not one of those that say that God does everything. God does not do evil. He can't tempt man with evil. Neither is he tempted, amen, with evil. But since He foreknows what all is going to take place, He can take, thank God, the adversity, thank God, that others give us. He can take the misunderstanding from others. He can take our own disappointment by others, thank God, and work it for our good. Amen. Hallelujah. But 40 years was enough. 40 years was enough to be disappointed. Hallelujah. Bless His name. And Moses, instead of looking so much to them, looked to me. Amen. Bless His name. Can I say it this way tonight before I get to the last point? Can I say it this way tonight? In Hebrews 11, the Bible said, by faith, Moses, when he came to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, esteemed the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. What he was saying to that crowd, or what he was saying, first of all, to those two individuals, those two brethren that said, who made you a lord or a judge over us? The reason he is so disappointed in him, he said, do you not realize what I did yesterday? Do you not realize by me slaying that Egyptian? Do you not understand by me taking that step yesterday that I waved goodbye to the coffers and the treasures of Egypt? Right. Yes, sir. Amen. That I gave it all up. Amen. Hallelujah. To help you, and now you don't want my help. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh my. Nothing can be more disappointing. Nothing can be more disillusioned. Nothing I can't affect us anymore than to be misunderstood by the brethren. Amen. Let me say this on a personal note. Years and years ago, preaching at a place, thank God, the Lord was blessing. The Lord was helping. We had experienced some moves of God and some services, thank God, on and off. And the Lord was helping us. And we were much in prayer. Amen. Thank God. And one day, meeting just got out of hand and just kept going on and on. And thank God, I think about three of us preached. Thank God. In the same meeting, the Holy Ghost just came and many testified, and there was a touch of the Lord, amen. Thank God. And one man from the church said, thank God, and referred to me, thank God, said, he's preaching a damnable doctrine. And what the word is referring to was he is preaching a premillennial return of our Lord. And all I'd preached on was, thank God, the year of Jubilee, amen. Thank God, that 50th year when everything was turned loose, amen. But being misunderstood and how God was blessed. Are y'all hearing me tonight? Thank God, it'll disillusion and disappoint. Thank God, and it has and does. Oh, tonight, and Moses is at the
that place you don't understand. He said, I God gave up the throne of Egypt. I got to be your leader, and now you don't even want me. Brother, that's been deep in his crawl for 40 years. But here's the Lord saying now, and Moses, I know. Hallelujah. So take off your shoes of your disappointment. Hallelujah. Amen. And would he be disappointed in that crowd again? Well, sure he would. When he first got down there, they worshiped the Lord. Amen. When he first got down there, they was glad to see him. Amen. Him and Aaron both. Thank God, before they even were let out, they said, what were you doing down here? All you've done is stir up a stink. That's what they said to him. Amen. And as he went through the wilderness journey, thank God he was disappointed in them. But thank God there was a difference in this second 40 years, our last 40 years. He had witnessed the glory of God. Amen. He had understood that irregardless of my friend, what they said and what they didn't say, and they're murmuring and they're complaining. Are you hearing me, friend? That God said, I'm still the same. I am that I am. I'm in the bush, and the bush won't be consumed. I will accomplish my plan, my purpose, my work. Hallelujah. If I have to bury a whole generation to do it, I'm going to get my people to Canaan. Amen. Amen. Oh, help us, Lord. And so he's disappointed. Can I say, lastly, and I'll be through, he's disappointed mostly in himself. Hallelujah. He's disappointed mostly in himself. Amen. He's disappointed at his soon anger. Amen. Oh, yes. He's disappointed at his overreaction. He's disappointed in the fact that he got ahead of God and literally tried to help God accomplish what God had put in his heart. And I think we went over that other night, but it's true down through the scriptures. There's Abraham and Sarah. And from the time Abraham's 75 till the time he's 100, God keeps saying, you're going to have a son. I'm going to bless your seed. Amen. Your seed will be as the stars of heaven, as the sand of the sea. Amen. And Sarah says to Abraham, she says, Abraham, I'm not as young as I used to be. And if we don't hurry up and have a young'un, it's going to be too late for me to have a young'un. It's going to be physically impossible. My womb is not going to be available. My womb is not going to be such that it can have a son or a child if we don't hurry up, and God hadn't done it yet. So take Hagar and let her be your wife. She's my handmaiden, and then let her give birth upon my knees, and maybe it'll cause me to be able to conceive. Oh, they got ahead of God, didn't they? For God waited. Hallelujah. God waited until Sarah got 90 and Abraham was 100. Thank God, amen. And he, my friend, I said, you're going to have a son, even though her womb was dried up and her womb was dead. Thank God, he brought life. Oh, bless his name. Hallelujah. Amen. By the way, all of those heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible speaks of their faith. Almost every one of them, amen, probably outside of Joseph, but almost every one of them had some failure in their life, had some sin in their life. Amen. Had some terrible mistakes in their life. Like Moses, are terribly disappointed. Thank God, even in their own selves. Amen. God don't whitewash that. God don't turn the other way and say that didn't happen. He's put it down in his book. And he mentions every one of their failures. Amen. But he magnifies their faith. Hallelujah. We got a habit of magnifying our failures and mentioning our faith. Hallelujah. Bless his name. Oh my. And having faith, that's not mean there never will be, I ain't got a disappointment, never will be a hard times or struggles or difficulty. Oh God, help us tonight. But it means in spite of it, thank God, we loose our shoes off and get on holy ground and say, Lord, the disappointments of yesterday, the disappointments of 40 years ago, the disappointment that I have even in my own life about myself, I give it to you. You know my weakness and my infirmity. You know, Lord, how weak my ability is, but I lay it all before you. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, he's disappointed in himself. God uses this time in the land of Midian, in the backside of the desert, taking his flock. He uses this time in the life of Moses to empty him so he can fill him. He uses this time to get rid of his self-confidence. He uses this time to get rid of his self-reliance. Amen. Oh my. And he doesn't have, mama, Pharaoh's daughter, his mama to lean on. He doesn't have stepdaddy Pharaoh. He doesn't have, thank God, the servants of Egypt to lean on. Thank God he has nobody. Anybody hear me, friend? Thank God he's there by himself. His reliance is on God. Amen. But he finds out God is sufficient on the backside of the desert. God will be sufficient. And when he gets down to Pharaoh's house and gets back to Egypt and leads the children of Israel out, and God's sufficient in the wilderness. Oh my. It all begins right here at the burning bush by him taking off his shoes and saying, I'll be obedient to what you ask of me. I'll make myself available. I'll not just give you my attention. Oh my. Hallelujah. I'll draw nigh unto you. Amen. That you then can draw nigh to me, and that your work and will can be accomplished in my life. Let's stand tonight. Thank you for your patience and prayers. Hallelujah.